call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, can you please take the roll?
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skransky.
Here.
Please rise during with me in a pledge of allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's been a request to take up the two proclamations first, and then we'll get to the citizens' comment here.
The Committee of the Whole. Committee of the Whole.
I thought you wanted to do the language first. No, okay. Committee of the Whole first. Doggone law enforcement officers got me in trouble.
Who didn't pay their parking tickets?
Obviously, you guys have lived a pretty comfortable life. Yeah. So, Mr. Deedle?
Hello. We have a request for a concept review from the owners of the Forest Hill Highlands Senior Housing Development. They are proposing to develop or change the next phase of their development. This is the property, approximately 22 acres north of Putes Road. They have received previous approvals for this project. However, they wish to make some changes at this time, partly in response to the proposed Meyer development to the west. Essentially, what they're doing is they're asking to change some of the buildings to different sizes, a larger number of buildings, but smaller number of units in each building. Totally, there'll be less units as well as what was previously approved in this 22-acre area. And those buildings to the west of the proposed road would be market-rate apartments, so not necessarily senior. The buildings to the east would remain senior housing. And the applicant is here and able and willing to give a presentation.
All right. Can you introduce the
Mr. Bob Zolli is here.
Yep. And I don't know if I have walking pneumonia here, but it's close. Welcome once again to Franklin.
Well, thank you, Bob Zolli and John McMurtry,
thank
UFG.
You.
Mr. Mayor.
Taylor, members of the council.
It was nice to see you two gentlemen.
As Mr. Deedle mentioned, we are looking for an amendment to the current PDD. It's currently 344 units. We're reducing the density to 286, a 58-unit reduction in density. That's not showing up very well here, but
they're seeing it on
the television. We have three-story buildings and three two-story, 40-unit buildings here. And then these were just amenity areas, bocce ball courts and shuffleboard courts and such. And if Mark, if you can bring up the PowerPoint, if that's possible. We have boards as a backup. The technology fails us tonight.
Paper always works.
Not a problem. Got this.
Maybe while he's getting it up, you could point out on the television screens what's existing and what's proposed.
Okay. What was existing was just up. This is what's proposed at this time. This portion, as Mr. Deedle mentioned, is where most of the reduction in density occurs. This would be market rate executive type housing here. Of course, this is the Meyer building located right to our west.
We can't see that. You have to put that
point
on the
board.
It's okay. It's up.
Okay. So this is the Meyer building directly to the west, and these are 330-unit market rate executive housing style, underground parking, and then there's some surface parking garages to provide additional covered parking stalls. These would be 12 units. These are all high-end. We're looking at high-end finishes on the interior, marketing to the young executives. There would be a common area and a pool located here. Originally, this is where the three-story buildings were. So these are this is a two-story townhome, direct entry garages. Down here would be our senior community. These are our typical eight units, which are approved in the north portion. We have 56 units of those. We'll be building the first one next year. It's new in the market for us, for this Franklin area. This was originally a two-story, 40-unit building, so we're reducing the size considerably here by going to these two-story direct entry garage. This would be a four-unit, and two eights. Now, in this portion, there were two 40-unit buildings. And what we've done is taken these two 40-unit buildings and combined them. So this is 130 units. This portion is two-story, and the rest of this would be three-story and underground parking. And we have found, and maybe I can defer to John, that from our last 5 to 6 years, our developments have been going to a single amenity building where our community rooms and all of our function areas are in one building, so our residents have full access to it, and they use them more. Currently, at the other portion of Forest Hill, there's 336 units there. We have a 3,000-square-foot community room attached to one of our buildings, and people actually have to drive to it or walk to it, so they may not use it as much as they would if it's easy to get to. And so we find this is very successful from a marketing standpoint and a use for our residents. So in a nutshell, here's...
Just a little more history. It's been a dozen years since we came to you with our original project approvals. We opened our first phase 10 years ago now, and we're on the final portion of the north portion of our development with our townhomes, the first senior townhome of which we will open next year. All of the elderly buildings in the north portion of the development are now complete. As was indicated by planning, the redesign of this segment of our development has really been in response to the change in the retail component next to us. It's a much more intense, massed buildings, which has the semi-truck locations immediately adjacent to our property. We've communicated our concerns to the Meyer Group. We've been really unwilling to get much flexibility to deal with the truck traffic, which is a big concern. And our last hope is, has been expressed with Alderman Olson and presented in a letter, that we hope there isn't going to be a restriction on truck traffic that can't occur between 10 o'clock at night and 7 o'clock in the morning. But even with that, the previous design that would have had three-story elderly buildings along the west half of the site is just no longer economically feasible or compatible with the rear of the retail building with the semi-truck loading. So what we did, taking into consideration the residential single-family homes to our south, we started with senior townhomes. These are actually a building that in many communities, and we've done this up in the Minneapolis community, actually as condos. But we plan to own these long-term and rent them. They're two-car garages on the ends of the buildings. They're one-car garage, direct entry, and they're actually two-level townhomes. So you walk in on the first floor. You've got your living area with a living room, kitchen, a dining, half bath, and then upstairs, two bedrooms, each with walk-in closet and full bath. There's nothing like this in this market. In fact, I don't think there's anything of this quality that we've seen in any of the Milwaukee suburbs. We've got a clubhouse with a pool in this location here. And then what we did is we transitioned in this area against the post office and the senior living that's up here with what we see as executive housing. This is underground parking, elevator. It's going to be 65% two twos, 1,100 to 1,300 square feet. A lot of natural light, only 10% one bedrooms, and 20% two ones. Again, we don't think there's anything like this in this market. The townhome component is a continuation of what we've done on the north portion of the development that we're going to be opening next year. We like to see a mix of 10 to 20% of our senior community with this townhome component. It's direct entry, garage, private entrance, again, something that could very well be a condo building. The real evolution in the elderly component, as Bob indicated, this is an evolution we've done in our communities. We have four communities with single buildings like this that provide immediate access to 100% of our elderly residents to the amenity package. And it's a 5,000 square foot amenity package. It's located in the center of the building, and it's again underground parking. And although you're looking at this from a helicopter with a top view, as you drive around this community, it'll read as a cluster of separate buildings. We just got approved and are just beginning construction in Mequon, a very similar design to this. We've built this building in DePere, in Menominee Falls, in Nina, and then we are currently working on a new project on the north side of the city of Brookfield that's very similar to this. We'd be glad to entertain any questions or comments.
Okay. Just a reminder, some information to the general public, and that's that this is a concept review. basically, this used to be held at the Plan Commission, but the Common Council thought it would be better to speed up the process and to make Franklin more business friendly, that developers come in here to take a look at and get some feedback from the council as to whether they're on the right road or not on the right road. It's kind of a sort of a thumbs up, informal thumbs up or thumbs down, and the council members will also indicate the types of things that they want to see in order to make this happen. We had a concept review for the Meyer project some months ago, and Gordon Foods and Dental Associates. So this is just in that same vein. And with that, I don't know, do you have your hand up, Alderman Olson?
I've met with the applicant on a couple of occasions regarding this project. As they all know, when they first came to us, was it 99?
Yeah.
I was opposed to the initial concept. My opposition was purely because I felt it not appropriate for planning for the city to concentrate as many seniors as we would have between Forest Hill Highlands and Brentwood Park, and frankly, the condominiums I'm living in. But I've come to modify that position a bit. United Financial Group, Forest Hill Highlands have been excellent neighbors for us. We've had, I would say, no issues whatever in their developments, similarly to Brentwood Park. other than an occasional ambulance call, and once or twice a fire call for a lightning strike. But they've been very good. They've been active in the community. And for the public's information, they do have on-site management that takes pride in the development. So my comments to this, they've accomplished what I've already discussed with them, connection of Putes to Brentwood Park. The Meyer store location is a bit problematic, and I think I know that seniors would not appreciate being home during the day and having truck traffic in their packets. So this is, to me, an adequate compromise for that. It's a win-win for both Meyer and Forest Hill Heights.
Okay. Alderman Skrowski?
The exterior of the building, I know on your sketch here, is pretty plain. Is it pretty much compatible to balance your...
Absolutely, Alderman. It'll be a full masonry building. We use dimensional shingles on the roof. One thing you may not see here, there are precast lintels and sills. We've stepped up our latest design in our last 240s. We've built up our step up of the previous four buildings that we've built there. So yeah, we are an owner-operator, so it's important to make these appear and function.
Actually, Alderman Skronsky, this building will have different specifications than our existing elderly component. This is a new brand. It's really our Highlands Grand brand. We're going to have 9-foot instead of 8-foot ceilings. We're going to have upgraded countertops and lighting. And if you take a look, there's bow windows on this design. It's still 100% brick exterior with the Jeffersonian design. So it's going to be everything that our existing architecture is and more. And it's really an upgraded brand with a separate identity. And we've used the same concept in Menominee Falls and the specifications that we've recently done in Mequon are planned to be integrated into this.
Okay, is the three-part golf course in here somewhere?
that's coming.
Okay.
One thing you did, the 30-unit building and 12-unit building, we just finished up with a four-hour meeting with our architect from AG Architecture, and we're working through those designs because it's a new product for us. Well, the 30-unit is.
One other question. If the Meyer project does go through, I know there was some discussion about maybe a walking path over there that the seniors can go over and do shopping, take a look, come back, have a nice walking path.
Well,
some exterior stuff, and
sure.
Is that probably possible if the two of you agree on it?
We had some discussion about that with staff, and we should probably indicate that we had a meeting with all of your staff, and what came out of that meeting, we originally... we're suggesting that the public street be a cul-de-sac and not go through, and we were directed that public street needed to go through, and Alderman Olson alluded to that. But other than that, I think this design was consistent with the direction we got from staff, with the exception the public street that's on here is substantially the same as the original approved design back in 2000. Now, I see in the comments that we received on Monday from engineering that there was a suggestion that 66-foot right-of-way, which was approved in our original design, should be expanded to an 80-foot right-of-way. And this is a very challenging site with wetlands, with floodplains. We've met the standards of the UDI.
UDO,
excuse me. And that was really the only, Bob, I think, comment that came out in the...
During our meeting with the development team and staff, there is a sidewalk shown on this north-south road down to Putes, and you mentioned about a pathway. There is a culvert crossing at Legend Creek, and, you know, I'm sure something could possibly be worked out there, but, you know, that would be really Meyer's hurdle to go over, and it's the back of their building too, but at this point there is a sidewalk running through here, and as John had mentioned about the original approval back in 2000 on the 66, the thought at that time was to keep it as a 66-foot right-of-way, Mr. Bennett, not an 80-foot, so it wouldn't be a freeway, and then we also have that pinch point. There's a wetland finger that extends into the road, In the original approval back in 2000, the road was actually within the 30-foot setback, and this new design we've popped out. And with some discussions with staff, we'd hope that the public road could possibly still conform to the old UDO. Mm-hmm. All other setbacks that we have around the perimeter of the site are conforming to the new UDO requirements that were changed in 04.
Yeah, I think the 66 is sufficient.
Great.
I just thought maybe a bike trail in here, and I'm saying not a sidewalk, but a trail.
Oh, sure.
So you
sure
can have walking and biking, and I'm sure all the people that are going to live here are probably have bikes and want to do a little exercise and even stay within their compound.
Oh, yeah.
In
right
that area and still have a
oh, absolutely. A all of our residents yeah enjoy walking paths. We have them at most of our communities.
Super. Thank you.
And I should also say that I don't see Mr. Henneke, but he's probably our closest neighbor to the east that's affected by this. And Bob Zolli did meet with him.
He spent some time with Tony. And
we did a couple of things, you know, to keep him, to keep.
Yeah, the this portion was intentionally set at a two-story because it's Tony's house is approximately right about here. So these buildings are no closer to the property line than the two previous 40-unit buildings that were located here. And his sight lines, he has no problem with it. I'm going to give him a few trees and landscaping near his property to help screen, but he's on board.
And the senior townhomes are a smaller mast building, so, you know, that as he comes into his home. So we try
oh, yeah
to keep that in mind as well.
That was a major benefit, removing the 40-unit building here and then reducing the size to these townhome buildings. So that was a major plus for him also.
Yeah, I would think even with the path and that, maybe have a gazebo out there somewhere for people to sit and enjoy, relax, and that would be a great area.
Yep.
Thank you.
Alderman Olson?
A couple of things. First, could you describe what you mean by market rate, especially as it relates to...
I probably just simply should have said non-senior. This is executive housing, and it's really going to be an option for people that could otherwise own homes. Certainly, the townhomes, which are the four buildings on the south end of the development, are condo quality and are going to rent higher than probably any other rental that's available in the Franklin market at this time. We are in the concept stage, and I couldn't answer that.
How much is your mortgage?
I would say, you know, if it was, it would be somewhere in the $1,200 to $1,400 a month range. I would say. On the 2.2s and the 2.1s in that element, I would say. For an 800 square foot, it would be in the mid 800s to 1250 for the 1200 square foot 2.2s in the elevator underground parking buildings. But that's, you know, it's kind of preliminary before, you know, we've done our research.
And the other thing between United Financial and the Myers folks, we've had lots of discussions about putting a path through. One major hurdle that Myers has is that corner is about a 12-foot high retaining wall.
Right here.
It kind of makes it hard for seniors to walk up.
Yeah, frankly, I don't think I finished answering that question before. I apologize for that. We think, realistically, if the walking path came down the public street along Putes Road and then entered, it would be a lot more safe and attractive way to approach the store. I don't think it's going to be realistic to come in the back of that store.
I believe right here there's a culvert crossing in Legend Creek where the farmer used to travel between his pastures. But
well, I think it's something to look at for the future where you can put it in, make it a minimal.
Yeah,
that'd be a great thing to have.
Yeah.
Alderman Schmidt.
Yeah.
I assume you have dumpsters factored into your site location. This would be private collection that the homeowners would be.
Correct.
Yeah. Actually, on the elderly building, This building will actually have interior refuse collection. And we do that to be a convenience for our residents, but then actually as far as our only neighbor to the elderly building there, Mr. Henneke, it would be interior. On the senior townhomes, there's exterior locations that will be blocked around and screened.
We masonry screening, and we use a galvanized fence with privacy slats in it. Seem to hold up better to the trash removal people.
I have another question. On the buildings back there, as they're more executive, did you ever think, or are you going to have a restriction on somebody coming and having a boat or a small trailer?
Yeah, we wouldn't
probably
want any
issues
okay.
with that.
Yeah.
All right, just asking because
sure.
you know, that always comes up, and people
right.
do have it, and when they're in that income level.
Yeah.
You know, that's, of course,
sure.
Relaxation stuff. Okay.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I guess as far as the layout for this and the whole concept of the senior housing, I've sort of had the same feeling that Alderman Olson has, that I've never really thought that this was the best use for this property. It would have been great if this whole area could have been our downtown, but that's could have, and we're kind of beyond that point already. I think it was a huge missed opportunity for the city. But with that said, it's been a good project. I've watched the first buildings go up as part of that whole process. And they have been good neighbors. And I'm pretty pleased with the design of that. So.
Thank you.
I do, since I was involved in the first project, it's unclear to me in the inclusion or the exclusion of the 15 acres that was sold to the Myers, and if that was included in the layout of this or how that was included?
We actually had two different approvals in the PUD because we are PRD. So we had a plan A and a plan B. And the plan A is if we didn't sell the 15 acres, and the plan B was if we did sell. So the design that we showed you on the first print there was the plan B with the sale and exclusion of the 15 acres that went into the Meyer property.
Okay, so it wasn't part of the site intensity calculations or the landscape ratio. None of that land was included when you did that layout in the previous?
Well, it was included under Plan A, the 15 acres, but it was not included under Plan B.
Okay.
So we had a dual approval.
And so you're doing Plan B instead?
Well, at this point, the first thing that we showed you with the 344 units was Plan B, which excluded the Meyer store mm-hmm. property. Now what we're doing is really coming to you and asking for an amendment to Plan B, which would be to reduce from the 344 units to the 286 units.
Right.
Well, I guess that, sir, I'd like some clarification from staff on that, or how that was included in site intensity calculations, because we wouldn't want to push this one forward and then, you know, the whole Meyer property is contingent upon that as well. So we should have an answer on that. Have you looked at the soils on this site? I heard you say underground parking, and I recall, and you recall what happened on the last
time. Yeah, actually, when this property was purchased from Mr. Armbruster, he stripped the topsoil off before he sold it. And when we built the road, we ran through that horrible soils material that and that's where it got dumped. But that's the top 2 to 3 feet. The soils in Franklin are high-bearing clays, but they also hold water, too. Yeah, but from a bearing capacity, it's not an issue.
Okay. I just wanted you to calculate that cost, and because I think last time you were a little surprised by that whole muck you ran into.
I know. Well, we have topsoil piles on site that we have enough to accomplish it. And this is actually high ground over here, and the site slopes down this way. So, you know, as this be a full basement here, full basement, these are slab on grades.
Well, I have two things. I also would like to see some sort of connection to the store area or whatever ends up being built.
Well, our property ends right here, and like I say, that's where that culvert connection is. Mm-hmm. easy enough for us to say, yeah, come across. There are challenges. There's pockets, as you
know.
There's
probably other areas, but I think it's important that staff would have the right-of-way along Putes, going from Putes Road north on that map to the next property, so there would be a sidewalk easement, and that part of your development process would be, you would be required to put the sidewalk in across your property right there.
Well, yeah, we're showing a walk now, mm-hmm. so the walk ends here, and then the walk would be extended to the property line.
Okay.
And I believe
on,
I read
on, this, on the interior
on the
side.
Eastern side of the property line, and then
okay.
they would have to come. Here's Legend Creek right here, so they would have to negotiate crossing the creek and,
right.
and extending it, you know, east to our property.
We would very much appreciate your facilitation of that sidewalk, you know, beyond our southwest corner there, so that our residents could pedestrian over to the Meyer store.
Yeah, which, according to their plan, it's a little more friendly entrance on that side to get into their site and back here, like someone's Jack said, or, you know, there's 12 or 15-foot retaining wall.
Okay, thank you.
Speaking of the Meyer store, we've delayed a public hearing at the Plan Commission to allow for more time to get testimony from the public. Were you going to build this, whether there was a Meyer store or not a Meyer store?
We would.
Okay.
I mean, we expect in this location that there's going to be a significant retail component. We think the Meyer store will be positive. That being said, the last two buildings, the last two senior buildings that we opened last year and this year, the building we opened last year is 100% leased. The building that we opened this year is 90% leased. It's as good as we've done on any of our previous four buildings, and I think it says a lot about the senior demand in Franklin, and during the next two decades, that demand is going to increase by demographics another 40%. So
I think maybe what the mayor was asking is, our thought is if we would get approvals and go forward through commission.
Well, right now, the Meyer store actually has a recommendation of denial from our planning department.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a letter from the DNR, from Heidi Kennedy, regarding that. So I keep hearing, you know, when the Meyer store is there, it's quite a ways away, and no decisions actually have been made whatsoever by either the Common Council or the Plan Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, would you have built this with or without the Meyer store? And I think the answer is yes.
Right, and actually the answer is we'd build this first one next year.
Okay.
Yeah, actually,
we're ready to do it.
Not only would it be yes, but we would move ahead with a cul-de-sac from the north, as Bob's indicated, and begin the executive housing, because this is a market that's totally changed, where the luster is of home ownership. There's a lot of very high incomes that would prefer some high-end rental housing as an alternative. And if you would have told me I would have been saying that 3 years ago, I wouldn't believe it. But
well, tonight's agenda, we have an item concerning the next year's budget, and so the process has sort of begun. And with that, this is rhetorical, but this project is in the Franklin School District, and believe it or not, when we look at the taxes of surrounding communities, the Franklin School District is a little bit higher. It's probably because we have a great school system, the Franklin School District. If you go into 27th Street in some of the areas that Alderman Taylor represents, it's actually one of the lowest taxing districts in Milwaukee County, because it's in the Oak Creek Franklin School District. So one of the primary, if not the primary goal of this council is to try and achieve a 70-30 commercial versus residential tax base, which leads me into, so what is the taxable value of this property?
The finance guy.
Watch it. Doesn't leave home without it.
Those thumbs are really working over there.
Well, based on the existing assessments of Forest Hill Highlands, it would be about $18 million.
Okay. And if my memory serves me right, the Franklin School District gets, what, about 30% of that, looking at the chairman of the Finance Committee. And then Milwaukee County gets 19%, so, and poor city of Franklin barely gets anything out of this, but we'll take whatever we can. I just want to ask the, before I recognize Alderman Solomon, this is a concept review. Is there anybody on the council that has major objections to the proposal?
Sounds good to me. Go for it.
Any major impediments that they see? I mean, that's the whole purpose of the concept review. Alderman Solomon?
Just number one, these guys have been very good corporate citizens here in the city of Franklin. This looks obviously like something is needed. When you build a building and then 1 year and it's 80% full the next, that's very, very good marketing. And obviously there's a big need there. So as we move forward, I would certainly, you know, be in favor of this project.
Alderman
Olson. Thank you.
By the way, just as an aside, I've got all of my immediate neighbors on my cul-de-sacs, mothers or mothers and fathers live in Forest Hill Islands. Hmm. And a lot of my good friends, mothers and fathers, or mothers, typically mothers, live in Forest Hill Island. I've never heard a negative about any of the residents of Forest Hill Island. So,
thank you very much.
I recognize, well, John, you're a humble man, would never say that yourself, so I'll take the advantage for you.
Thank you.
I see a couple of the immediate residents, next door neighbors, with indulgence to the council.
You have the floor.
I would ask the indulgence of the council, if they wish, to speak and make a motion to suspend.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say, with motion carries.
You cannot say anything, Paul.
Yeah. There.
I'm just wondering, how is that going to affect my property?
If you could you please come to the microphone? Please state your name and address for record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm Paul Humbecker, 9209 Schutz Road. I'm trying to put correctly.
Yep.
Or,
right on here.
What's the plan? Because I know what city ready to make it multifamily zone. So is there any chance he might be further on moving down past on the other side of Cutes too?
No.
Do you have any interest in purchasing property? Other side of Cutes.
We can't hear him.
He asked if the applicants have any idea that they would want to purchase the land on the other side of Putes. And I think they said no.
In the future. Because I guess there's just maybe a handful of people that's single residents on the other side of Putes, where it's going to be multifamily. They're ready to occupy properties zoned multifamily also, even though I only have one resident.
If you're asking us to respond to that, is he asking
us? I think
us?
He is, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't aware that your property south of us was actually zoned multifamily. We'd have
when
to take...
I checked on the taxes, he was saying that he's zoned multifamily. That's why regarding the land is different.
And actually, our zoning is not multifamily. Ours is PRD, which only allows the multifamily use by approval and an amendment of the PRD, which means that if we wanted to change this design in any way, that we'd have to come back to the council and you'd have a public hearing, whereas our neighbor's multifamily property is not as restricted as ours. Would we have an interest in that? Possibly.
I'm just concerned that there's maybe about a handful of us on the other side of Putes, single residents, and going to be eyesore. Seeing Moulton Town with high-rise buildings right in front of us. That's my major concern.
Could I just address that? 13 years ago or 12 years ago when this was approved, there was a three-story building right here. It was a two-story building, 40 units, right here. Now we're transitioning from the single family on the south side to a two-story condo-type development, drive-in garages. And here, too, these are eight-unit drive-in garages, condo-style homes. They're more residential, so the height has been reduced considerably. So your direct viewing is smaller buildings than what was previously approved. The total density on this project has been reduced by 58 units, so they're just less units completely.
When we come in for the public hearing, we'll have building elevations and perspectives, show you building materials. But clearly, as Abzali indicated, the architecture of the townhomes along Pute's Road are much softer and smaller mass building than what's now approved on the site.
Could you share your whatever you have with this gentleman, whatever you'd like to get?
Be happy to show you what we have. Absolutely.
Thank you. Is someone else Alderman Olson? Anyone else?
Move to return to normal order.
All right.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Did you want to say something?
I'm just wondering if you can explain for everyone here.
He's part of
Would you please explain just PRD for everyone here? Because Casper just stated here he doesn't know what that is, and just so everyone else understands kind of what a PRD is and how that works.
It's PDD.
PDD, yeah. Plan Development District.
And how that differs.
It's sort of like building a small community within a community. So we have PDDs throughout the whole city.
Contract development.
All right. There's a motion to return to regular or business. Second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Did you get all the questions you needed answered?
Yep.
I don't know. What I'm seeing is looks like sort of a thumbs up if everything, all the ordinances and everything are complied with. So
our next step will...
Second.
There's a motion to adjourn. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Would you please once again rise with me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now, there was a request from the law enforcement officers to take out the
roll call.
Roll call?
No.
Yeah, sorry.
Not in order.
Sorry, I'm just dying.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Solomon. Alderman Wilkins.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skansky.
Here we have four. Madam Clerk, would you be kind enough to leave the auxiliary? Can we have all the officers come up here?
Whereas the purpose of the Franklin Auxiliary Police Services Unit is to augment the Franklin Police Department in cases of emergency and other occasions to preserve peace and order, to protect life and property, and to prevent crime. And whereas qualifications in becoming a member of the Franklin Auxiliary Police Services Unit include undertaking and participating in training as deemed necessary by the Chief of Police to be considered competent to carry out the duties that may be assigned. And whereas Patrick Stipp has been an invaluable member of the Franklin Police Department's Volunteer Auxiliary Police Services Unit for over 29 years, serving as Auxiliary Police Commander since July of 1998, where his contributions and efforts in that capacity were crucial in the reorganization, training, and management of the unit. And whereas Auxiliary Commander Patrick Stipp, since joining the unit in 1983, has accumulated an unprecedented 7,500 hours of service with the Franklin Police Department, which equates to 932 days or 2.5 years. And whereas Auxiliary Commander Patrick Stiff's vast generosity in serving the Franklin community at its 4th of July, Labor Day Fair, and squad ride-alongs have provided valuable aid and support to the Franklin Police Department's enforcement efforts. Now, therefore, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, on behalf of the Common Council, the Franklin Police Department, and the City of Franklin as a whole, does hereby thank Patrick Stiff for his immense dedication and commitment to the Franklin community. It is people like Pat that make the City of Franklin the great city it is. Dated July 10, 2012, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor.
I guess there's no way that we could actually thank you for all the time and commitment that you put into the city, your city. I know that I've attended many of the Franklin football games. Some of them they start off and, you know, it's pretty warm out, but towards the end of the season, it's raining and there's sleet. And this gentleman is standing out there while the rest of us have umbrellas. He's braving the cold and the wind. And sometimes the opposite side, maybe they're from Oak Creek, they're not so nice to the, to the police officers. But all of these gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen of our police force, they do a fantastic job. I mean, it's one of the greatest privileges I have as the mayor of the city to be the department head of this police department. I've been around a lot of law enforcement officials. I can tell you that there is no better police department in the United States than this one. And so with that, Patrick, I just want to thank you on behalf of 35,000 people.
Yeah, our auxiliary unit is very, very important to our department. We couldn't do it alone. These gentlemen devote a lot of time to city. You know, come to our parade, 4th of July, our civic celebration, Labor Day, any of our big events, you'll see these gentlemen out there, again, on their own time. They're here on the 4th of July, and most people want to spend that time with their family. They're here helping us and the police department and helping protect you in the city. So it's a very, very worthy department, and we really, really appreciate the efforts. Again, Pat, more than 28 years of his life to the department and the city, this is incredible. Just outstanding. He was just a top-notch person and a great commander of the unit, and helped our auxiliary sergeant, Sergeant Gonzalez, here in operating the unit and coordinating all the efforts. On behalf of the police department, we would like to thank you. Thank you for your many years of service. Thank you very much.
I've gotten something out of this too. The 28 plus almost 29 years I've spent, I've older than the whole two, so no. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of work. There have been some really hot days, some really cold days, some long shifts. I used to work with the canine unit quite a bit. I got a lot out of my experience working for the Franklin Police Department, for the citizens of Franklin. So it's not just like I gave. I got quite a bit too. I made many friends in the department. I worked with these great guys up here who were fantastic to work with and respected. I've gotten a lot of support from members of the department. I've got good friends here. So while I'm going to miss it, it was time for me to pass the baton to somebody else. And I respectfully did that. But certainly I leave with a lot of good memories. I wore the uniform proudly. And I certainly respect the men and women of the police department, and I wish them safe travels and all of you. So, Chief, thank you very much for all the opportunities.
Get out of the way.
Now you can go golf.
Yeah. I finally got a 4th of July off.
I'm going to ask the city clerk to read the next proclamation as well.
Whereas the Distinguished Young Women Program is the largest and oldest national scholarship program for high school girls that promotes and rewards scholarships, leadership, and talent. And whereas the Distinguished Young Women Program inspires high school girls to develop their full individual potential by encouraging continued education, developing self-confidence, and showcasing excellence in academic achievement, physical fitness, performance skills, communication, and by creating opportunities to inspire the lives of others. And whereas Sydney Kierkegaard, being an accomplished young woman who participated in the Distinguished Young Women's Scholarship Program, and whereas being judged on interviews, scholastics, talent, self-expression, and fitness, Sydney was named the 2013 Distinguished Young Woman of Franklin, who will represent the City of Franklin at the Distinguished Young Women of Wisconsin competition. And whereas Sydney's parents, the former Distinguished Young Women, the Distinguished Young Women Scholarship Committee, and the community are proud of Sydney's achievement. Now, therefore, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, does hereby wish to acknowledge and congratulate Sydney on her achievement of becoming Franklin's 2013 Distinguished Young Woman and wishes her continued success as she represents Franklin at the State Distinguished Young Woman Program. Dated July 10, 2012, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a rare night. We had a very distinguished volunteer who was just recognized, but I don't know if any of you are familiar with that program called American Idol. It's on TV, I guess. If Franklin ever had a chance of having an American Idol, it is this young lady right here. And I've witnessed it firsthand. This lady can sing and dance and act, and she's the real... Real McCoy. And I look forward to hopefully singing some Christmas carols with you at the library this year. And next to Sydney is Sue Herman, who is, you are the Distinguished Young Woman Program for America. And, well, that might be.
And Allie
did
a really good job for the Franklin Program.
Right. And I thought Allie might want to say a few words about Sydney, because I'm guessing she's quite a
definitely. I had the privilege of getting to know Sydney through the preparation for the Franklin Local Program, and Sydney is really a standout student who's respected by her peers, the teachers at Franklin High School. She really shone in all of the areas of the program, in scholastics, talent, interview, fitness, and she really exemplifies the motto of be your best self. So we're really proud of her. She's an excellent representative of Franklin, and we wish her the best as she goes on to the state program.
So do you have anything to say, or have you got a quick song for us?
Maybe some other time, but I'm just really honored. This is just absolutely amazing, and I'm really excited to represent our great city at the state competition. So thank you very much.
If any of you are interested, our state program is August 4th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. If you would like to come and see several talented young women up on that stage competing for the title of the Distinguished Young Woman for 2013. We'd love to have you come.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
All right, now turn to back to regular business, citizens' comment period, or any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Randy Reuter, 7621 Mission Hills Drive. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here this evening. As a member of the Planning Commission for many years, I've been banned from common council meetings, except when they're posted to have the majority of the Planning Commission available to attend the meeting, which tonight's meeting is. The last time I attempted to be here was at the Crystal Ridge presentation, and I got the flying finger of ejection and had to leave. So it's good to be here. I would like to thank the city attorney, the city clerk, and whoever else might have been involved in getting this meeting posted properly so that I could be here. I hope that's not just a one-time thing. If it is, I would encourage you to look at whatever might be done so that members of the Plan Commission and other members of the boards and commissions that might be similarly affected could attend their common council meetings just like the other 35,000 people in the city can. However, that's not why I got up here this evening. I got up here this evening to express my great personal appreciation and encourage you to do the same for whoever it was that cleaned up the awful mess that was left here after the binge that occurred last week. Over the last several months, I've altered my walk route and come through here early in the morning a few times a week and have very much come to appreciate how well-kept and neat and trim the grounds are. And I came here on the morning of July 5 and 6 and 7 and saw what a disaster it was after the party on Wednesday. But then on the following days, I saw how it got cleaned up and got back into its normal, clean, and trim condition. And I can only imagine how much work there was involved in doing that. I don't know whether it's Public Works or civic celebrations or wherever it might be, but it had to have been a tremendous effort to clean up all the mess that was left behind. And I certainly appreciate that and would encourage you to commend everyone involved. It's bad enough to have to clean up a mess. It's worse to have to clean up somebody else's mess, and this was quite a substantial one. But they did it. Whoever it was did a really terrific job and got the city grounds back into good condition again. I certainly appreciate that and would encourage you to express your appreciation also. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ritter. And just on that note, I think it just requires a simple badge, doesn't it, for each commission? Maybe it's not that simple.
No.
Yes.
It does require a simple badge, except we do have to have knowledge that should have belief that the commission will be here in quorum fashion. If we were to put plan commission on every agenda all the time, even if there were no items related to a plan commission agenda, that, and this is clerk language, this isn't real legal language, but that's like the boy who cried wolf. You're always saying the plan commission is going to be in attendance. So the purpose of what we call the bad key notice is to inform the public when a commission might be in attendance at a meeting. So I will now take your advice and assume that when there are large developments or small developments or developments of interest, the Plan Commission and the Forward Economic Development Commission will be included on, but we do not just put them on all agendas.
Right. Is anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen's comment period? Yes, ma'am. Can you please come forward, please state your name and address for the record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Margie Shore, 8046 South 60th Street. I'm called here to talk about the quarry. I asked the mayor if he'd drive down 51st Street. It's unbelievable. It's going from bad to worse. It seems like we've lost all control of the city from the quarry. In the UDO, it says that you're supposed to be able to see. They're not supposed to obstruct your vision in it. I mean, surely Sam, I'm sure, will speak. I mean, she can't even, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's no sun. And I mean, they're just building higher and higher and higher. And I don't know, I know Mark said he thought it was for the dust and the noise, but that's no control over this. This is a city, and these citizens can't even enjoy life, and it's just gotten from bad to worse. And I would sure like to see someone talk to them. I'm willing to talk to them, because it's just out of hand. And I do want to bring up again, something's going to happen on Rawson. The trucks are losing so much stone before they get to 27th Street. And it's flying, back on the cars and everything else. And they also are not watering at all on the, where they're going out of the entryway, I guess you'd say. It just seems like they do whatever they want to do. Thank you.
Just on that note, Marge, I did go down there on my way to the ICC meeting where we had the vote on the chairman of the board the other day. And I also called Joel Deedle, asked him about, because there is a lot of soil in that area. I believe he said that there was a couple, they came in for a land disturbance permit, and asked him to go out there and take another look at it. Because from my vantage point, it does look like it's quite a mess, I'll put it that way. So I was going to ask Mr. Deedle, and I think he's prepared to talk on the subject tonight, and Mr. Bennett also with the soil, to take a look to make sure that they're not going beyond what the requirements of the Unified Development Ordinance require, and that they do this in a neat, orderly fashion. Right now, it's Marge is right. It looks like a mess.
And you know, when they put the Murmur Hill on Drexel, I mean, you used to could see. You know, you can't even see that above that hill, and now they built this one higher yet. I mean, you're talking like 60 feet. That's a lot of dirt. And it's just, I don't know where they're getting all this dirt, but why can't they put it in levels that they've got all that land now, but they're just building this great big wall. So it's just gotten out of hand.
Mr. Deal, you were out there yesterday, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll finish up the citizens' comment period. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I'm kind of curious about item 13, where somebody's trying to claim some damage is done. I'm wondering why that keeps appearing on this agenda. First of all, what I read in some of the articles was that our insurance company said we did not have a liability, and I don't understand why we keep looking at this thing at the Common Council. If we don't have a liability, that should have ended a long time ago. Like my house, I've got two problems. One, my sewer keeps backing up, and Mr. Bennett now sends the sewer man every month to clean out my sewer. My electrical pedestal in the back is only a foot off the ground, and it should be 3.5 feet. I think I'm going to have to start collecting money from the city to get it corrected. But I don't see why this should be on the agenda all so many times, and everybody says get rid of it.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Anyone else wishing to speak?
Goosey Flintrop, 8310 South 100.
Hi.
I am hoping, in more ways than one, that this Meyer project goes through. I can only see anything but positive. Right now, we have the worst eyesore in Franklin. I think it's probably the worst eyesore in the whole damn state. I go past it every day, and I can't believe that we haven't opened our arms to these people and said, go for it, because everything they have tried to do to make it compatible with our wishes. I see nothing wrong with it being larger than 125,000 feet. You have a store of 125,000 feet, and they attach a bunch of little, they have vacant stores that are vacant most of the time because nobody can rent them. I think one store that would be fully occupied is a plus. I think anything that they would build according to your requirements is a plus. We get tax revenue. That place right now, I wish SWAT, when they were in there practicing, had done the job right, because it couldn't be looked any worse. I could go on and on about all the millions of reasons why we should vote for the project. And Mayor, I hope you're for it.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, ma'am. If you could, please come forward. Please state your name and address for the record. Joel, could you maybe assist with the microphone?
Stone? Oh, no? No?
Yes. Or if you can hold it.
I can hold it.
To do, just the stick.
Yes? Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Donna Mudrock, 9177 Unit A, and Caitlin Woods. And I fully appreciate what the other woman has said here. However, I'd like to say that, as we all know, Franklin is a very large community. And so many, many Franklinites do not live anywhere in the area of Highway 100 and Loomis Road. But we do. My husband and I live in Caitlin Woods. The eyesore is for sure. It's a terrible thing, and I think something should have been done about that. Something, many years ago. But I can see why people are enthused about the tax benefits and prospects of jobs. But for those of us who live right here, let me tell you how we feel about the traffic issues, which we already experience because we travel Highway 100 and Loomis every day. The noise during the construction period, when the store is open, the noise and the traffic, the possibility of crime that accompanies this type of business sometimes, and the claiming of wetlands for profit. We lived in Greendale for 38 years, and prior to our moving there, the old people said, before Southridge was built, they never had any water problems. Once Southridge land was covered with cement, there was a lot of water, and we all had flooded basements. There's no place for water to go. It runs into the streets and into the sewers, which can't handle it, and I think we're going to see some of that here. Excuse me. We'd like to be able to sell our home someday, and I don't know how that's going to work with this big box building on the corner. We have a Pick and Save, a Target a mile away, and a Walgreens across the street. What more do we need? We urge the council to turn down this proposal for the reasons given and for the peace in our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? We are going to have a public hearing on the Meyer store right after this.
So you want the comments then or not?
Well, I was pointing out you can do either one, but probably after this, if you wanted to, you'll be able to weigh in. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? If not, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to the minutes of the regular meeting of June 19th.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion.
Salmon reads over all the licenses again.
Well, okay.
No objection, okay, after the meeting?
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We now turn to hearings. Public hearing regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the future land use map use designation for property located at the eastern corner of West Loomis Road and West St. Martin's Road, South Highway 100, for mixed use to commercial use, and to change the City of Franklin Crossroads Trade Area Regulating Plan to allow for such commercial use. And there is Mr. Deedle, you have a public notice. Are you read? Madam Clerk.
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Tuesday, July 10th, 2012 at 6:30 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers at Franklin City Hall to hear public comment regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin 2025 Future Land Use Map for property located at approximately West Loomis Road and West St. Martin's Road, from mixed use to commercial, and to allow deviations from the City of Franklin Crossroads Trade Area Regulating Plan, David W. Barron's, principal of Greenberg Farrow Architecture Incorporated applicant. Properties which are the subject of this application bear tax key numbers 840-996-9000, 840-999-7003, 840-999-7002, 840-999-4000, 840-999-8000, 840-999-7001, 840-999-300, and 840-999-901, consisting of approximately 29.48 total acres of land. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Wisconsin Statute Section 66.10014D. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan is available and open for inspection by the public in the office of the city clerk during normal business hours. The proposed draft ordinance is also available and open for inspection by the public at the Franklin Public Library during normal business hours. In addition, the draft ordinance is available on the city's website, dated this 30th day of May 2012.
Okay, and before I begin, I said during the previously that I requested that the Plan Commission keep the public hearing open until the next meeting, and a couple reasons for that is one, city just prior to the Plan Commission's meeting, I think that Monday, received a letter from Heidi Kennedy, who is a wetlands coordinator for the Department, Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, in essence requesting that we lay over the matter and or deny the proposal until such time as more detail can be furnished. And the second one was that the Plan Commission that night was July 5th. Many people, if not most people, take their vacation during that time period. So it didn't really give the public the opportunity to speak that we normally have. So I will, later on, after we take testimony tonight, I will be asking that this matter be postponed until the Common Council meeting of July 24th, 2012. Okay, with that, Alderman Olson.
Mr. Mayor, just request that the city clerk enter the two previous comments in the record for this agenda.
All right, Madam Clerk, so noted. And city attorney called me. He was unable to make tonight's meeting. So, but we did chat a little bit about four or five items that are of concern in the city. So with that, I'm going to open up this item, item D1. For public hearing. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding the future land use map use designation for the eastern corner of West Loomis Road and West St. Martin's Road? Commonly referred to in the newspapers as the Meyer Project. Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? Alderman Olson?
Just so the county council and the public don't read anything into the lack of people in the room for this particular issue, I sent out an email blast to, I guess it's about 700 people, letting them know that the issue will be held again at the Plan Commission and again at the county council. So, not people being as they are, they'll wait until the end.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, but it was on Channel 6 this morning, so. No, that the public hearing was going to be held. Yes, sir. Could you please state your name and address for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Attorney Brian Randall of Free Refinity in St. John, 330 East Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here on behalf of Meyer. And I do have a PowerPoint presentation I could go through. It's the same one from the Plan Commission. It would not be as long. That could help orient the public to what our proposal is, if that's the pleasure of the council.
Pleasure of the council. I think you're gonna. We'll be back the 24th. So, Alderman Olson.
It might be instructive to see how many people in the audience are here for this particular issue.
How many people are here for the Meyer proposal? Okay. So, looking at the council, I probably would prefer. I think most of them are. In attendance at the Plan Commission, but we'll be back on July 24th. Can I ask you if that's a digital? Do you have a digital copy? Is that something we could put up on our website?
The PowerPoint? Sure. I have it on a flash drive. I can give it to Mr. Levert.
Okay.
Right now. I'd be happy to do that. if I can just comment on a few things, in part, I was in attendance for the concept review for the United Financial Group, and if I had the site plan up, I could show you, but we do intend to propose a sidewalk on the on Pute's Road. It would be the north side of Pute's Road, and that would be the duration of our property line. So as I understood their proposal on their road, that's not the cul-de-sac, but would come out on Pute's Road, they will have a sidewalk along Pute's on the north side, and so our revised plan does show a sidewalk, and we will be connecting to that. There were some comments that I heard about the path through the wetlands to connect to their backside, to our backside, and it is true, we have about a 12-foot grade change in that area, not to mention the wetlands, and we have we're taking very seriously the wetlands and the need to mitigate for our store and our parking facilities, and frankly, even a 6-foot wide path or whatever it would take for the 160 feet of from where our building ends to our property line, that would be one more tenth, quarter of an acre, whatever it turns out to be, that would be a significant wetlands impact. And so it's easy on a plan to look at and say it'd be nice to have a pedestrian connection there, but the realities of some of that, they do have ramifications. And I actually heard, I don't think it was Mr. Zolli, I think it was, maybe it was Mr. Zolli who indicated that they believe the preference was going on Pute's Road. So we can accommodate that. We'll have that pedestrian connection, and I think that's the safest and the most economical for everyone involved and most desirable. To navigate that 12-foot grade change, we will have a retaining wall on the backside. It just is not practical to have that be an accommodation. As far as our building, as I mentioned, there are 160 feet from our building to our property line, and then, of course, there's a buffer from their property line to their first building. We have sight line shots that we'll be showing you as part of our presentation. It will show that even as when they have a three-story building, only certain portions of our truck loading dock could even be seen from their building, and certainly the second-story units and first-story units will not be able to see them. We have 30-foot trees in that area, so there's significant vegetation throughout that will be a natural buffer. But we have also constructed our building, or we will construct it, so that there's a wall that further buffers our truck loading dock to their property. I believe they said that they didn't feel Meyer was very responsive. I know I've had at least a half a dozen conversations with Bob Zolli. I know our architects and planners have. So the fact that we have the wall on our building, the fact that we've rotated our building, and the fact that we're trying to understand their plans and our impacts on them, and frankly, vice versa, we've been trying to work together as best we could. And I think, as they've indicated, it will be a win-win for everyone. It will be a good asset to have that retail site at that location. As far as some of the concerns that we've heard with traffic, the reality of this site is that it's at the crossroads, and that is the name of your master plan for that area, of course, by design, but it's at the crossroads of two state highways, Highway 100 and Highway 36, and that is a significant factor both in terms of why Meijer is interested in the site and why retail in general will likely gravitate toward that site and the other corners. So that crossroads is important for a regional facility that is what is attractive to the area as far as that particular development and the type of entity that can develop on this site. Of 29 acres that we have, the wetlands take up a great portion of that. And so there's a lot of the site that's unusable, and the trade-off is acquiring that entire site but only being able to develop part of it. And so we're trying our best to maximize what we can for the developable land by being sensitive to the environmental land. The crossroads plan itself, which I understand this is in the public hearing for, we submitted in our project narrative, I think it was about 5 or 6 pages, where we addressed the crossroads plan and comprehensive, or compatibility, I should say, with that comprehensive plan. Indeed, there are some amendments that we're asking the council to make. One in particular is what's known as the big box ordinance. Our store is going to be 191,000 square feet, and the crossroads plan limits it as a comprehensive plan to 125,000 square feet. Under Chapter 66, comprehensive plans are a guide. And so as you consider the amendments to the comprehensive plan, please keep that in mind, that simply the fact that it's out there is not necessarily ordinance, and certainly the big box ordinance is by itself an issue that'll have to be dealt with. But the crossroads plan is a guide, And the Plan Commission earlier this year, I quoted in our project narrative the minutes from that Plan Commission meeting, and I know the council took it up as far as the need for the city to be more flexible, because the 2004 vision that's documented in the Crossroads Plan really isn't compatible with today's reality and what development could bring to that site. And it's at the core of what the county council's decision will have to be as far as whether to stick with that 2004 vision, and whether after 8 years you haven't seen what was envisioned for that site, whether it'll be another 8 years or 80 years, or if it's time to amend the plan to accommodate what we believe is a first-rate development and can speak to a lot of what the comprehensive plan still does require. And that's what our document did in fact point out. I do want to distribute and add to the record one additional document. I did not see it in tonight's meeting packet, and I know there were two PDFs. It was like 190 pages. Maybe I just missed it. But we did submit at staff's request, because they asked us to specifically address the 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan. So we do have a six-page, shorter version document that I'd like to add into the record and make sure each of you have. But at this point, knowing that there are other public meetings coming up, I just wanted to touch on the high points. I don't want to repeat anything that I've written. I suspect you all can read that. And I'll certainly be listening to what the other public comments are. And as one of the speakers said earlier, we've listened, we've adjusted our plan, we've made some changes, and we're very excited to come to the city of Franklin as one of the first stores Meyer intends to open.
Well, and given that you didn't go through the PowerPoint presentation that I think lasted with the public hearing about 2 hours the other night, I'm going to consider this part of the presentation for tonight's public hearing. I do have a question, and I know Alderman Olson has a question as well. And again, this is rhetorical, but I get this all the time, and I'm sure the alderman, the other aldermen, get this as well. And that's that, why don't you have them build it over at this site or that site or this site or that site? And during our first meeting with you, I think I ran through a number of sites in the city. One in particular was Orchard View Shopping Center, where the vacant Century Store is. And I said this at the Plan Commission the other night, but I think it needs repeating throughout the community. And that's that my understanding is your people in your main headquarters studied the demographics for Franklin. And if it's not the Highway 136 site, it's no site in Franklin. There's no option.
That is correct, for a variety of reasons. Primarily the trade area, and Meijer intends to strategically locate its stores. The other store locations are not public, but they are looking in the area. And the Franklin 136 Crossroads site is the strategic location, and as I mentioned, one of the first stores for the Wisconsin market that Meijer intends to build. If we are not able to build on this particular site, then that shifts a lot of the pieces of what they're looking at as far as the master planning. And so we understand there are other sites in Franklin. In fact, after the Plan Commission, one of your owner developers here in the city contacted me and said, if not there, we have something. And I certainly forward those on, but the reality is this site has been studied long and hard, and there's a very good reason Meijer is excited about this, and it's because of the old real estate mantra, location, location, location. And so Franklin, it certainly has that issue to deal with, that it's a great location, but it does have surrounding uses that any developer has to be sensitive to, and we believe we're doing our best in that regard. So.
Okay, and this is another rhetorical one, but it's important. When people came in and had the meetings, I also told them that this was a very controversial site because of the history surrounding it, and that the city had a 125,000-square-foot ordinance that before anything could be done, the common council of the city would have to first lift that or entertain it.
That's correct. And my understanding is staff is actually recommending the amendment that we have proposed, notwithstanding the recommendations to deny other applications we've made. So I think the city is in a good position, and what we've proposed is a very narrow amendment to the big box ordinance, and that would be simply to allow planned development districts to seek approval that may exceed 125,000 square feet. So in effect, the council and the Plan Commission, frankly, at all times will still have the review authority for whether a larger format store is an appropriate fit for that particular location as part of the planned development district process that you would for any particular project.
Alderman Olson.
In consideration of the people who are here for the for this particular public hearing, I've asked Mark to fire up the computer and perhaps just put up the site plan just so we have something to refer to.
Sure.
I'd be happy to. And Frank, I was not going to go through all 26 slides, but there were three of them at slide 16. Also, in addition to the site plan, though, that did address the crossroads plan and the comprehensive plan. And again, if tonight's public hearing is on comprehensive plan, we can certainly go to that. But if you want to limit it to just the site plan, that would be fine. I'd be happy to orient everyone. Well, the other thing, Mayor, I thought the rhetorical question that you might be seeking or the rhetorical answer you might be seeking is on the subject of valuation and taxes, and I did want to provide some of those figures. As the meeting packet indicates, we've estimated the project cost for this to be $15 million, and provided that turns into an assessment, and I know assessment is some art, some science, but a $15 million assessment, as I looked at your rate of return, your mill rates, it'd be $174,000 of annual taxes paid to the school district and $87,000 annually to the city based on that type of assessment. Mr. Zolli talked about their projected valuation of their assessed value on the 280-some residential. I think he said $18 million. So really, on this corner, as you go east, you're looking at those types of numbers multiplied by two for what the upside is for the city. But as it relates to us, if I did my math correctly, and there's a reason I went to law school and not picked up an MBA, it's $174,000 to the Franklin School District and $87,000 annually to the city.
Okay. Alderman Olson, you still have the floor.
Thank you. dovetailing off of what Brian had to say, I did have a constituent ask specifically about the tax impact on his house. I asked the city's finance department to run these numbers just a bit. Everybody knows that I run numbers. Okay. The net on a $200,000 home, the net value to the city's portion of the tax, city only, is $4.90. The net overall value on a $200,000 home, based on the 2012 tax rate, is about $84. So that the impact that's based on $15 million. So I thought it was important to have that in the record as well.
Great. Thank you. Alderman Skrowski, and then we'll open it up for public hearing.
How much is going to the city school coffers? 100 and something?
$174,000 would be the annual tax payment.
That's pretty good, and there's no kids to be added to that.
Correct. But we will sell school supplies and fruits and vegetables
I know
to
you
feed
do.
The kids.
That, so that's a great asset. But as we all know, every time a development comes in, if there are children that are added to it, that means buildings have to be expanded, and that comes back down to the tax bill. So with the revenue that's coming in, there's no pressure put on to the home tax coming back the other way to where there's kids in the schools.
Mr. Mayor, if I can briefly show, when I was here last before this body, I appeared April 30th for concept review, as some of you may recall, and this was the site plan at the time. The date is down there. But what you may remember is we had a large stormwater pond on the north side. We have Loomis Road, Highway 36 right here. I'll orient everyone first. Loomis 36 here. Highway 100 is here, St. Martin's. And then this is Putes. Putes currently comes in straight. It's very light gray lines, but it currently has an odd angle, and there are some safety concerns with that. But so north is up on top, obviously. One of the changes you'll see in a minute is we had a fairly large stormwater pond here on the north side as it accompanied or abutted our main entrance. This is a traffic signal proposed, and we believe we'll meet the warrants required by WISDOT for that. Our main entrance comes in here. The truck loading dock is on the back side. The United Financial project is all along here. And when I've spoken about the 160-foot measurement, that's the approximate distance from here to here as far as our property line. But the UFG development will be over here. So our truck loading dock will be here. The trucks can turn around in this area. There is enough room for that to still go out back out the controlled intersection. Originally, we proposed the Putes Road access point on the back side of our store, and we have a garden center on this particular slide. And over here, it's a right-in, right-out on Highway 100. That's what we showed you previously. Mark, if you can go to the next one. This is the current site plan, which has a bifurcation of the stormwater pond over here. So there are two of them, and the white parts in the middle, those are going to be water features or fountains to make them both functional for us for stormwater purposes as well as an aesthetic appeal. The controlled intersection is still here. Right now, on this particular plan, it lines up with the existing median cut and the existing curb cut. We have been in conversations with the O'Malley's for their property on the west side as far as where it may line up is on the crossroads plan and for their future development. We're trying to do our best to make it work for both sides. We can tweak things. To some degree, WISDOT has the final say in that, but we've already moved the driveway once, and we're working with the O'Malley's as far as where the future connection should be.
Given that you brought up the O'Malley's, is that John O'Malley's property? My understanding is two. They're father and son, but
right.
My understanding is John O'Malley's property, and the other property across the corner is John O'Malley, the senior.
And my dialogue has been with Jim O'Malley, so I'm not sure. I know there's a small parcel that they don't own over on this side of the street, but the rest kind of U-shaped around in the corner, it's been represented to me that Jim O'Malley is the person to talk to.
Can we get some clarification? Maybe Mr. Deedle, you could find that out. And the rational reason I'm saying that is my understanding is the person that owns Orchard View Shopping Center is John O'Malley.
And my understanding was that maybe the same family or everyone's involved, and that's they don't oppose this particular development. Even though
my understanding is there's no one speaks for John O'Malley except John O'Malley.
I can respect that. So that's what's going on the north side. On the south side, if you remember, we had Pute's connection down here, and it actually we've slid it to the west so that it does not go directly into or abut any of the neighbors' homes. We have some berming going on here, and so Pute's connection is as far west as we can go. The Pute's Road realignment is per the DOT's master planning for this area, and in fact, it's using property that we are essentially contributing. DOT will not have to condemn it, will not have to acquire it, and there are some significant wetlands in this area that we are shouldering the burden as far as mitigating. So this is going to be more of a perpendicular alignment for the Pute's Road, Highway 100 intersection. It's much safer. We have significant landscaping and berming throughout this area so that the residential neighbors have a buffer here. And then, of course, the wetlands area will be mitigated and enhanced to the extent we can, as well as the buckthorn and other invasive species in this area will be cleared out. We have, and it's kind of hard to see on here, but there is a little pedestrian area, and there are some park benches up on the corner at the point to make it an entry point, access significant feature, as well as some park benches. This little loop here is also park benches. Staff really encouraged us to have the interconnections within the parking lot, so we have I'm calling kind of a green corridor. It's a bioswale in this area, as well as a sidewalk on that one. There's another bioswale green corridor right here that'll all help with our stormwater management. There's another slide I don't think we need to go to today, but under this portion of the parking lot, there's an underground storage tank for our stormwater, and that's how we're going to be addressing some of our stormwater management issues, as well as the ponds, as well as then the natural wetlands.
My recollection is that you actually wanted more parking spaces, and we said no, it would have to be smaller, and that we've had requests. We've had a lot of discussion about oceans of parking lot. Mike, not for maybe tonight, but when I looked at the crossroads plan, which I've looked at many, many times, and I don't know if it was an optical illusion or not, but it seemed to me that the crossroads parking structure had about half or three quarters of the parking spaces that your story has right here.
I don't know if I'm hearing the question correctly. We have fewer parking stalls. The crossroads plan is a comprehensive plan, and we put this in our documentation, calls for 4 spaces per 1,000 square feet of retail development, and we're actually under that. I think it's 3.7 or so spaces per 1,000 square feet. So if I recall, we're at 684 in the front field, and the crossroads plan had over 700 as far as the total number of spaces on the site. So we're not only below what the zoning code allows for or calls for, and I know there's a deviation that the Plan Commission and the Council can allow for that, but we're also below the Crossroads plan. In part, that's because of, by design, Meijer stores do not want to overbuild their parking, as some other retailers do. We have this basically as narrowly done as we can possibly do, and the 684 or whatever that final number is, in our view, a manageable number for what most of our customer demands will be, but also obviously a balance for what the site can accommodate.
But in the Crossroads plan, there are multiple buildings on the site.
And we can show that if you'd like, Mark, it's slide 16. And again, that was one that I was going to point out is relevant to today's public hearing because it is representative of the Crossroads plan. We can certainly talk about these at the future hearings. We did go through them with the Plan Commission when all of our
there, yeah, there's one, it's 100, what is that, 100,000 square foot building?
Correct.
What is it?
125.
And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other buildings.
Right. We're in quadrant D of the Crossroads plan. And as I mentioned, here's the intersection that we're trying to align with. I believe our current plan does align. The problem is this plan is not to scale the information we have from the city. But even the Crossroads plan itself, there's a note in there that the connections really should be within 20 feet of the center line. So we believe we're pretty close to this. What it means for this side and future development there, and certainly the city's going to have to balance that of not knowing really what's going to go over here, where should our access point be, where should that future one be, because the Crossroads plan, it is a plan, but it's not reality as of yet for either side of the street. So we're going to try and accommodate where this connection is. But you're right, Mayor, we're in quadrant D, and there are 10, 12 buildings that comprise all of that area, the largest being a larger box, which was, I believe, 100,000 square feet with 25,000 square feet of inline shops all facing to the south, with parking fields over there, and of course they're oriented to the south facing those residences. We, as you may recall, have our garden center over here and the pharmacy drive-through, so it certainly is a little bit more passive of the use, and we have all the buffering as well. But if you can go to the next slide, Mark.
Oh, wait, if you could. On the other side where it's area A?
Correct.
Right now that's Hodak's gas station.
Correct.
And then next to Hodak's gas station are a number of trucks and rubbish receptacles, and then there's a little bit, I'll call it trashy, behind there. In order to make that A feasible, either the developer would have to come in and tear down the gas station and then build that, or they would have to ask the city to purchase the land under eminent domain and then put it under a TIF district. But right now, that's Hodak's gas station.
And just for the record, though, that's your comment on quadrant A. We do not request a TIF district. We do not request any of that type of assistance for quadrant D. This project is a Meijer project. And as I indicated, we're going to be accommodating the WISDOT improvements as part of our project. So what may go on in quadrant A, may you have the pleasure of having that come before you soon, because I think that will revitalize this whole area and certainly be a boost to the tax base compared to what's there now. But if you can go, Mark, to the next slide, what this represents is an overlay of our store, how it fits into the rest of the Crossroads plan, and the next one will be even more interesting, I think, but that's our site plan that we've talked about, and again, it accommodates where that connection is for the Crossroads, and it shows where the wetlands and the natural features are that we will be preserving, and how our site plan really fits into the Crossroads plan. So it's largely what you've seen just as it relates to the Crossroads. Mark, if you could go to one more forward. This is the last one that I wanted to touch on. The green building is the proposed Meijer store at 191,000 square feet. The red buildings are what the Crossroads plan called for, and you can see the larger box format is in the same general area. We are actually... and this, again, was a change we made since April 30th, and following the neighborhood plan, the neighborhood meeting, we've adjusted our plan so the building corner slides out to the west, and the top side tips back to the east. Again, that's, and you'll see this in the future, but that's to accommodate some of the buildings we have. But But our same basic orientation mirrors what the Crossroads plan called for the lower, the larger format retail. And then adding all these together, and I believe if you look at, that's the Crossroads with larger format in the Meijer, but I believe the square footage total on site is really comparable for our 191,000 under one roof and adding up all the smaller formats. It is comparable. Dave Behrens did all those calculations, and I have them in my notes. I provide them if relevant, but I think just visually it shows how we are in our statements, in our submission, that we are compatible with the Crossroads plan. We're not a complete change from the Crossroads plan. That's what I think tonight's issue, the public hearing on the comprehensive plan, whether an amendment to the Crossroads plan is appropriate, and of course, as you consider that, to what degree we're deviating from that. And this really tells the much of the story, that we're very close to what the Crossroads plan calls for, especially when you factor in things like access points, the redesign of Pute's Road, Crossroads plan. If Mark were to go back, it did have a Pute's Road access point right there. So we're pretty much hitting the Crossroads call for design guidelines in many respects. And as I mentioned, our written narrative identifies the specific Crossroads plans.
Right. Well, thank you for the presentation. I know that the people in the audience have been waiting patiently to be heard tonight. So thank you for your presentation. And we'll have opened it up for public hearing regarding this issue. I'm going to, for the first speakers, first time around, limit it to 3 minutes per speaker. If you wish to speak after that, we'll turn to the council and see if they're willing to hear some more testimony. Probably will. But for all those that wish to speak regarding this subject, please come forward now. Please state your name and address for the record.
West Putes, so I'm located at the property directly south of the Meijer facility here that's proposed. And we still have the concern, even though the access point to Putes Road has been moved, we still have the concern that there is an access point at all. If need be, it should be gated off, limited to an emergency-only access. We do not want to have all the additional traffic. There's already traffic problems on Putes Road without this development. So we still have that concern with this plan here. Additionally, all of the water runoff, like was mentioned during the citizen comment period, there's the existing drainage swale that runs through my property, has water standing in for many, many weeks after the rain. The grass is still growing to this date, even in the conditions we've had this year with the lack of rain. So we still have concern with the runoff problems that will be created with this facility. Additionally, the 24 hours of operation that's proposed for this facility should not be allowed. The ordinance or the plan or whatever the proper terminology is did not allow 24-hour operation at this location, and that should be abided by. There are many, many options throughout Franklin. We don't need a shop on every corner that we can walk to at all times. And having something open 24 hours a day, it's just going to have noise, traffic. Despite what may be promised as limitations for the access points for traffic, everything's going to be using that Pute's Road access, and it's going to be disturbing the somewhat peacefulness that there is in the neighborhood. Additionally, with the noise from the garden center, and I think the staff has recognized that there is the PA system that's out there, that will be disturbing the neighborhood. It should be severely limited, if not even eliminated, having that speaker system that's at the garden center on the south side of the property. And then finally, for the screening, if they're putting the 30-foot trees up by the loading dock, there should be at least 30-foot trees on the south side that's screening off the residential properties that are there. During the neighborhood meeting, talking with the Meijer representatives, they thought maybe 8-foot trees or something like that. but certainly they should be adding 30-foot trees down to the south side of the property. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Ronald Delinsky, 8981 South 79th Street in Security Acres. I think this store is way too big. We've got 5 Walmarts in the area, big box stores. I don't know if you're going to generate the amount of revenue that they think they're going to generate. Now, what guarantee has the city got that if this store doesn't generate the revenue they think they're going to generate, we're not going to end up with a white elephant on that corner? We know what happened over in Southridge when Gimbel's moved out. It took about 30 years to get Macy's in there. I'd hate to see this corner be a vacated corner. Is the city going to ask for a guarantee that this store will be occupied for the next 30 years? Or is it going to remain vacant and deteriorate? We have a property there that's been deteriorating for a number of years. It was very successful for a number of years with the right business people in there. The other question I have is the tank. Is that another deep tunnel project? How are we going to size of that tank to collect that water? Now, once that tank is filled, what do you do with the water? Do you pump it out? And where do you pump it? It's full of contaminants, of gasoline, oil, antifreeze. Are we just going to dump it in a stream? Or are we going to let it sit? And once the tank is full, we get a rainstorm. Where's the excess water going to go? The other question I have is about changing the ordinance. Now, we had this problem when Walmart wanted to come out here, and we said we didn't want a store that big out there. Now, is the city opening themselves up for probably a lawsuit? Now, you're bringing a competitor in here. I got no axe to grind with Meyer, but I wouldn't want to see the city say, hey, you let Meyer come in here, you wouldn't let us come in here, and now we're going to say, how come a competitor can come in here and you wouldn't let us in here? So I'd like to have you, Mr. Mayor, talk to the city attorney to have him go over this so we don't get a lawsuit on our hands.
The subject has come up. The city attorney's aware of it.
Okay. And, these are my two biggest concerns. That are you going to have a guarantee that that store will be occupied for 30 years? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Well, we will be back on the July 24th for one more. Anyone else? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing and ask that a motion to postpone to the next regularly scheduled meeting of the Common Council of July 24th, 2012, adoption of an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan, change the future land use map use designation for property located at the eastern corner of West Loomis Road and West St. Martin's Road for mixed use to commercial use, and change the City Franklin Crossroads Trade Area Regulating Plan to allow for such commercial use pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes 66.1001 paren B.
Mr. Mayor, I'll make that motion with one change. Like, remove the date and put it at call of the chair pending any additional changes.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. And again, ladies and gentlemen, there will be another set of hearings at the Plan Commission. I guarantee you that the Plan Commissioners will go over these plans with a fine-tooth comb, and they will take into consideration all the things that have been brought to their attention. And then after that, it will come back to the Common Council, I guess at the call of the chair, which is me. So probably no sooner than July 24th.
So with that, we are now turned to organizational business, boards and commission appointments. John Bergner, Civic Celebrations Commission.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, will you please take the roll?
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have a familiar name of Fred Knipple for the Quarry Monitoring Committee. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman
Wilner.
Aye.
Alderman
Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson. Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have the appointment of Alderman Wilhelm's appointment, Mark Buckman, to the Quarry Monitoring Committee.
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman
Wilhelm.
Aye. Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Spur. Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now go to reports and recommendations. Item one, consent agenda. Is there any?
Moved to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
No, I was just going to give, have the floor to make a motion, but. I didn't think we worked by click. I thought we worked by getting the call, but that's okay.
He also. Any discussion? Did you want to?
No, I have no discussion. I'm fine.
All right. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item two, consideration of initial resolution regarding Midwestern Disaster Area Revenue Bond Financing for Scrub Plus RA LLC project. Mr. Patterson, and, you have some guests with you, and we also have the applicant. And if you could, please state your name and address for the record, as well as your guests, if they could please state their names and address for the record.
Sure. Cal Patterson, the Director of Finance and Treasurer for the organization. Have with me Linda Templin from White Hirschbeck. She's bond counsel for the applicant. It was represented by David Ostlus.
Good evening. I'm Linda Templin. I'm a partner with White Hirschbeck Dudek, and we're assisting this borrower on a Midwest disaster area bond. I've come before you many times for an initial resolution. You've done a lot of bonds for projects in your various business parks. This bond is like any other industrial revenue bond. It just happens to derive its tax-exempt status from the Midwestern Disaster Area Bond Program. That program will sunset as of December 31st, 2012, but you have done a couple other projects under that tax theory. This one has a little bit of a different twist from what you've seen in the past, and that is that this borrower has two projects in the works, and hopefully both will proceed. One does not exclude the other. One project is here in Franklin and consists of the acquisition of land and the purchase and rehabilitation of an existing 10,500 square foot facility located at 7700 West Rawson Avenue to be used as a car wash and lube facility. That's the Franklin component of the project. And that project is expected upon completion to create 16 additional full-time equivalent jobs in the city of Franklin. The second element of the project is the acquisition of land and construction of an approximately 8,000 square foot car wash and lube facility to be located in the village of West Milwaukee. Under the statutes, under 66-1103, a borrower who has more than one project that is located in more than one municipality can come to both municipalities and ask them to consider an initial resolution and to, in considering it, realize that ultimately when the bonds are issued, only one municipality will be the issuer, the host issuer. In all other respects, the bond will be like any other bond you've done. Why does the statute allow that? Well, the reason is probably pretty obvious. Lawyers cost a lot of money. And they only have to do one bond issue for two projects instead of two bond issues and pay double. And so for this borrower, given the size of these projects, that means a savings of probably $25,000 or $30,000 in transactional costs. So in all other respects, it's exactly the same. We will be going to the Village of West Milwaukee, and we will be getting an initial resolution from them. The resolution each of you is being asked to consider is couched in the alternative, and that is that one or the other of you, and we'll come back and talk to you, would be the ultimate issuer of the bonds. And if one of the projects would fall out, well, then it'll just default to whichever municipality has a project. We have a long history of working together on bonds, and I know that the City of Franklin, if this borrower asks me, both projects are in, which one should we use, the easiest user-friendly, familiar issuer is the City of Franklin. That's not a wrap on the Village of West Milwaukee. They just haven't done a lot of bonds. So there's a high degree of likelihood that we will come back to you in probably 6 weeks or so for the usual process, public hearing, final resolution, only difference being two sites. Tonight, the borrower can speak to you more specifically about the project. Thank you.
Okay. I guess before you begin, Ms. Patterson gave me a call and asked me about the subject matter. And I said, well, you know, it's not unusual when we're having our discussions with developers for them to ask, so what types of things can the city offer? And, of course, one of those things is the industrial development revenue bonds, which we've offered in the past. And the reason we offered that is because it's one of the best economic development tools that municipalities have. And there's literally no liability to the municipality. Municipality is doing is lending its name to the process, and the applicant is able to get a lower rate.
Correct.
I have to say that I mean I support the project 1,000%, but having been the chairman of the finance committee for a number of years and now the mayor for 8 years, I don't recall a joint industrial development revenue bond issue coming before us. And I have to say I was a little bit surprised at this issue. Do we want to, would I support issuing industrial development revenue bonds for this particular project? Yes. Co-sponsoring it with West Milwaukee, I guess I want to hear more about it.
Sure, and this is an initial, Mr. Mayor. So as I say often, this initial resolution doesn't bind you or this borrower to proceed without further action and discussion. But what it does do is it starts that client time clock running. So they have a confidence that they can include in the bond, if and when they do a bond, costs that are incurred no more than 60 days prior to tonight's date. So it gives them confidence to proceed by preserving eligibility if that's amenable to you. If this body decided that they weren't comfortable with that concept after further discussions, we would hope that you would be comfortable with the concept that the Village of West Milwaukee then act as the host issuer. And I'd be happy to provide you after this meeting and to Mr. Patterson a copy of other municipalities that have done similar joint projects.
I guess for the council, and I may not get to vote on this, but if I were back in my alderman seat, I'd be a little bit uncomfortable because it's, the council really hasn't got on board with industrial development revenue bonds for this project to begin with, and then suddenly they're looking at a joint project with a community that they really don't know that well. I know the president of West Milwaukee very well, but it's still, maybe it's a perception issue. I think there's support for doing industrial development revenue bonds. Maybe we should cross that hurdle first before we start talking about entering into an agreement with another municipality.
And I would just add that your counsel, Rebecca Speckhardt at Quarles & Brady, has reviewed it as she has a number of joint projects that have been done. So from a legal standpoint, it's probably not, there's not a legal impediment. From a financial standpoint, it's very good for the borrower. From a policy standpoint, I can't make that call for you.
Mr. Chairman, to the resolution, you have a revised agenda or revised resolution, and the reason for the revision is item 7 of the resolves, which basically to ensure that regardless of which community that they go with, both our cost and the cost of our legal counsel will be covered. So it's not a matter of they go to the other community and we get left high and dry.
Alderman Olson.
Well, Mr. Mayor, in light of the new resolution, thank you, Cal, I see no downside for the city to move forward on this. I see a downside if we choose to delay. So I will defer to my colleague.
I will move to approve the initial resolution as amended on item G2.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Wilhelm.
I just have a question for the representative's attorney about the use of this bond. The name suggests that it's for disaster area, and so it's the revenue that is created by the projects that supports disaster, because you would think by the name of it, it's always for projects that were affected by a disaster. So could you clarify that?
Sure.
Thank you.
It's hard to remember when everything's so dry now that in June of 2008, Wisconsin, essentially 30 southern counties in Wisconsin, suffered significant storms and flooding. And following that event in June of 2008, Congress in October of 2008 dusted off a piece of legislation that they had passed after Hurricane Katrina. They really did a global search and replace. And they said, every place it said Gulf Zone, they changed to Midwestern Disaster Bonds. And FEMA had come into Wisconsin and designated the 30 counties in southern Wisconsin as affected counties, disaster areas, because of that storm and water damage. And in the states of Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and limited counties in Nebraska, we were given the opportunity to open up a special area of tax-exempt bonds. Essentially, we were no longer limited. When we've come to you before, you'll notice that all of the borrowers were either a 501c3, they issue under Section 145 of the tax code, or they were a manufacturer. Congress said a natural disaster has occurred in these counties that's caused grave economic loss, and we don't want to pour a bunch of federal money in. Bonds are not federal, state, or local money. They're bank loan dressed up in a way that drives the interest cost down. So we're going to open up this category for virtually almost any commercial enterprise to use tax-exempt bonds for a period of time, which ends December 31st, 2012, to create economic development in those counties, because we know there was loss. You don't have to tie a loss to a new project. Just the fact that this project is located in a county that was designated as an affected county makes it qualify. That and a designation by the governor that says it's in an affected county.
Thank you. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Item 3, ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0439 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 34, Hampton Inn and Suites Plus Mixed Use Commercial. Alderman Solomon?
Move to approve the ordinance to amend this Section 15-3.0439 of the United Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 34. To authorize redevelopment of an existing commercial car care center at approximately 7700 West Rawson Avenue, which is going to be called Scrub Plus.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none,
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Do you get the feeling that they want you in the town? Thanks for bringing your business here.
Thank you.
Item four we took care of. We made a motion to postpone.
Okay.
It's okay.
I know. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, you mean that one. Item five, resolution amend resolution number 94-4131, imposing condition restrictions for the approval of special use for the construction and operation of a nursery, with outside sales, storage, display of nursery stock. Alderman Taylor.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I was not at the Planning Commission meeting, but I've looked this over. I understand Alderman Skransky stood up and spoke in favor of it also. I think that there's a lot of items on page 92 and 93. There's a lot of things in here that I think are excessive, and this business has been around for 15 years. We're asking them to do things that we've never asked before, like put up a fence around a bin, striping parking. I mean, we're going to do something 5 hours one time a week, and we're asking this laundry list of things to do. And I understand that maybe Joel Deal can answer these questions about conservation easement. We have sewer pack information, do we not, that we can use instead of having to go all these expenses. I mean, it gets to the point where we ask a business to do so many things that become so cost prohibitive that's not going to happen. And I look at items 1 through 14 or 16, geez, that was even on our side. And it gets to the point where, do we not want this to occur? I mean, besides maybe asking the vendors to register with the city and deal with the health inspection that has to take place like one time, I think some of this stuff is just over excessive. I mean, I don't have a problem with putting up signs on 27th Street that we don't need parking on there, but in 15 years, have we ever had parking on 27th Street that you can recall?
There was one event that was limited parking for about a 5 or 6 hour period.
Right. So and we last summer we did this. We had a farmer's market like what, once a month?
We had the same kind of schedule once a week.
Once a week.
The same time frame. It was a much smaller scale.
Right. So we're going to do a little bit larger, and we've turned it into 16 items, which I just don't get. And this is just typically what goes on around here. So, I mean, I'm for this. I want to make a motion to approve. But what stuff can just go away, Joel? Because some of this stuff is, I think, just ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess the question is, what's mandatory and what's discretionary recommendations?
The first four items, first four conditions are the city attorney's standard conditions, so I would not recommend removing those.
Okay.
Item number five is related to, so that item number five is an optional. It's staff recommended this because of our concerns with the lack of parking. The amount of parking is approximately the same as what was originally required, but maybe a couple of spaces short. The original approval did not allow display or storage of any materials on that parking lot, and they have been periodically doing that. Farmers market would have the structures primarily located off the parking lot, but to get from one structure, one stall to the next, people will be walking through the parking lot, so we're concerned that there'll be additional loss of parking. And then if this event is successful, then there won't be enough parking on site. So that's where that comes from. So it's staff's concern, it's not a requirement.
Isn't the key word, Alderman Taylor, prior and five? You know, of course we want everybody eventually to come into the compliance with the, if possible, but making him do this right now in the middle of a season when the vegetables are ripe to be sold and everything.
Right, right. Now back to, Joel, go back to this item, where is it? I talk about the conservation easement.
Nine.
What?
Nine.
All right, we'll get to that. All right, go ahead.
Conservation easement, there are natural resources located on this property. Some of those natural resources are located immediately adjacent to the parking lot. Again, as I previously mentioned, he's proposing to place the vendor stalls outside the parking lot close to this natural resource. Based on the maps and information he gave
What's
us.
What's a vendor stall?
What is
yeah,
a vendor stall?
Right. What is it?
It'll probably be a tent and a table.
A tent and a table.
And then the parking, the vehicles.
Right. 10 to the table.
But remember, getting very close to the wetland, you know, the ordinances are to prohibit disturbances of the natural resources. And they're probably, but based on the map, we can't tell for sure, but probably within 50 feet of those wetlands. We have an ordinance in place right now that allows best available for information if there's no disturbance within 100 feet. But we're saying they're within 50 feet. We don't know for sure. The applicants had previously got sewer pack to delineate the natural resources on their property, but that information was not included in the information they gave us. So the conservation easement would be based on that sewer pack information placed on the map by the applicant and then recorded.
Are you okay with that, using the sewer pack information?
I am okay with using the sewer pack information. That very information was given to me by the city, by the planner, which they had on file. And if I may, going back to the area where the market is, it is located in the same spot it was last year. It's about 4 feet higher than where the wetland area is. And I would say it's probably within 50 feet. You know, we're dealing with a 10 by 15 foot area that includes the vendor's vehicle and their display. I don't see any way that that's going to impact the protected area.
Right. Well, my suggestion is we have to, if you look at the minimum, like the mayor said, what's the minimum to get this done? If I was a business coming here and wanting, or already here and wanting to do something, I looked at this list, I'd turn around and walk away. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just gets to the point where we're so over excessive on what we're requesting a business to do, especially that they did last year. It's not like this is new to them. So I make a motion to approve with them. I think, do we need item 1, 2, 3, and 4, you're saying, based on city attorney?
Okay, correct.
Those four. And then I think we need the vendors to obviously register. That would be number 10. And then obviously the health department has to go out there to do what, one inspection? Is that typically what's done?
That's what they do with the
That's
hearing.
My motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
I moved and seconded Alderman Skransky, Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Olson.
Yeah, I'll go along with Alderman Taylor on it. 1, 2, 3, 4, fine. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, out. 12, out. 13, questionable. They're on their property. How many acres you got there?
Just about 24.
Oh, I think you can park some cars out there. And you're a nursery, right?
Correct.
So there's aisles in between. 14, out. Restriping the ground, that's ridiculous. 15 and 16, out. I can see the...
Motion's been made.
I know it has.
He's agreeing.
But I'm agreeing.
Right.
But I'm saying, I'm putting this on the record because this is... if we want to be a business killer, here's a business killer. I would go along with Alderman Taylor on this thing. Let's get this guy going. Summer's going to be over. He'll be selling snowballs there pretty soon. So I'm for it.
Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Olson.
Well, I guess the only one that I had a question was number 9, even though I'm not necessarily agreeing that the draft conservation easement is going to do anything. It might be in violation of our current ordinance. So that's... I guess I would need a question if that's removed. Is that in violation of our current ordinance?
I believe it's within the realm of the plan common council. As a special use, there is greater flexibility for the common council to make decisions and set the standards.
I'm just going to point out to my colleagues that the staff report here is they're doing exactly what we've yelled at them for years to do. And we've frankly kicked their ass a number of times to make them do something like this. So to sit here and kick their ass for doing it is not appropriate. It is appropriate, however, to say we don't agree that this ought to be in this particular instance. Let's remember they're doing their job. I support it.
Last piece is...
Support for reduction.
At the Plan Commission, there was discussion about parking. And my understanding is 27th Street is under the jurisdiction of Milwaukee County. I mean, it's a state highway, but Milwaukee County maintains it. Therefore, it's under the sheriff and the parking regulations.
Parking would be a state, don't take that.
State, right. But the county has taken over the maintenance of the facilities, and I always see the sheriff's vehicles up and down. My point being is that the county, on behalf of the state, can take care of the parking issues. This gentleman's been in business for a long period of time, and I understand what Alderman Olson is saying, but there is, in this type of a circumstance where we have known business that's trying to survive in these economic times, as a department head, we should strive whenever possible to try and make some flexibility here to make these things happen. But I would agree with Alderman Olson that we do ask the staff to go through this. And when they do, then we yell at them. So, Alderman Solomon.
Question to the applicant, or just a comment. I'm in favor of the lifting some of these restrictions on the that have been talked about previously, but since you know what those restrictions are now, and if you're going to plan on doing it next year, work on those restrictions with staff between now and next July so you can maybe meet these restrictions next year so we don't have the same problem next year.
Okay? Understood. I have worked with staff this year on a couple occasions regarding some of these things.
Okay. See if you and staff can't clean this list up.
I'd be very willing to do that.
The purpose of
this meeting, I guess, was to make this a permanent fixture to amend our special use from here on out. Rather, last year was a temporary thing. See how it went. I was told, word from staff that I had to apply with the Planning Commission and Common Council to make this a regular event for us.
Well, bring forward the whole scenario next year about February 1st. Work on it between February.
I think this is permanent.
And April.
This is a permanent deal. No?
Unless any significant changes are made.
What?
Significant changes would come back.
Changes, but basically approving what he did last year or this year.
Unless we make it part of your
this
motion.
This is the map right now.
At some point, you may want to paint stripes.
On the ground.
That's up to you. Yeah. You know, if that becomes an issue, but I don't think you should just be forced to do it just to do it.
Right.
I think one of the biggest issues we faced was actual placement of the market. Last year, we went through a couple of different scenarios in the site plan where it was placed. Once the planning department approved all that, they gave us the go ahead for one time.
And the one thing is, you guys remember, we talk about this conservation easement. What do they have all throughout there? Trees, plants, shrubs. I mean, that's what they're doing. So, I mean,
it's this.
Well, and there are still obvious areas.
Right,
that
you can't
that property.
Touch.
You can't mess
right.
with them. We respect that. One of the other issues, too, was the types of vendors we were allowed. Amending this special use will allow us to then broaden our menu of vendors.
I think all you're hearing collectively, we all want you to succeed and to succeed wildly. So with that, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Further discussion, seeing them all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. And I hope, sir, that you can appreciate that staff is trying to do what is in the ordinances. They're just trying to do their job.
I completely respect that.
Resolution awarding contract lowest bidder, Payne and Dolan, in amount of
second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Resolution awarding contract lowest bidder for 2012 pavement marking. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 7, resolution awarding contract. Oh, sorry. Item 8, replacement of global positioning system GPS data collector.
I thought this was moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 9, ordinance to repeal and recreate section chapter 13-1 through 13-3 of the Municipal Code of the City of Franklin, chapter 13 budget, in order to amend the budget process, including delegating to the committee, et cetera, et cetera.
I'll move.
Second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded under discussion. Madam Clerk.
I was going to say that I believe Mr. Luberta has a... but he's looking at me. Never mind. I thought there was a clarification or some thing that had to be addressed on an email that I gave you.
No.
Okay.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I have a clarification of the resolution because although it's stated in the write-up, it's not stated in the first whereas. It says that on the third line, functioning primarily through the committee of the whole. And I would like to add, and following council, in the following council meeting for action, because we don't take action in the committee of the whole, and that's not expressed there. So I think that would be important to add that to make that clarification.
Ms. Liberta?
That's actually the point that the city clerk started to address. And the city attorney and I discussed this afternoon at some length. And the way this is set up, you are allowed to take action within the committee of the whole, recognizing that it does not constitute action of the common council. So this is set up to mirror what practice you've historically had, which was the mayor submitted a budget to a committee, the finance committee, who then reviewed it, considered changes, and then that budget that came out of committee was the one that went to the public hearing. And so this mirrors that process using simply the committee
so
of the whole.
You don't need that?
No.
You don't need that clarification is what you're saying?
Yeah, so
okay,
you don't need
I'm
it
fine.
Because you...
That was fine. So
but you will actually, this will be the only nature of item that you actually will make a motion in committee of the whole to say, let's...
I think she's fine.
Yep.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Okay. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, I have it. Motion carries. City of Franklin's community. Yep.
There's a second item on that council action relative to then amending the annual budget, budget preparation timetable, and adopting the one dated July 10th.
Move to adopt the revised 2013.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. City of Franklin's Community Development Block Grant Program Projects for 2013.
I would only like to add one additional change that when we were just notified today. If you look at page 124 of your packet, at the end, at the bottom of that page, it says Clara Meadows North Handicap sidewalk. This would be the final phase of that for 37422. We received the email today with a revised number for our anticipated allocation, and would actually go up about I think $1,700-$1,800. So that number would be for the anticipated is 39198. We are doing something slightly unusual and applying for the full 80,000 for phase, the final phase of the project. In the event that some other communities in Milwaukee County don't find eligible projects under the new, more aggressive HUD and county oversight. And then we would have a project where they could put the money that falls into the municipal category. So I've worked with the county and the county CDBG coordinator, offered that as an idea, and toured the project site. Friday, this is a phase three of something, and as soon as they release the monies for phase two, we'll actually hopefully begin construction this fall on the stretch from Clara Meadows up to Minnesota, and then this provides for Minnesota on to Rawson. Pardon?
We haven't really got a cost for all the way.
Yeah, Ron, the assistant city engineer has provided estimates to go all the way. So this is basically.
Okay. Is there a motion to authorize the mayor to execute and the director of administration to submit applications for the 2013 Milwaukee County Community Development Block Grant Program in accordance with the recommendation as provided herein and to authorize the necessary CDBG funding contracts if approved as submitted or if approved with equally proportionally adjusted funding within the public service projects?
So moved.
For a second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure that he's been introduced as a CDBG guy, but Paul Ratzenberg is in the back of the room, and I'm not sure the county council has ever been introduced to him or anything like that. So I just bring that up now so everybody can go say when we talk about CDBG.
So, Liberty, want to introduce him?
That's your editorial.
Hi, Paul. He's a very good constituent of the 4th District.
And more than that, he's your deputy finance director.
Back, how about a round of applause?
Hi, Paul.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Consideration of need for retaining consultant for a classification and compensation study for non-represented employees referred to the Personnel Committee. Mr. Wilbert.
The mayor, with his human resources background, has discussed this with me, and we've noted that given the significant changes that have occurred in the human resources area in the last couple of years, a number of communities, many of them in the area, are going out for classification and compensation studies, which can be fairly expensive, but they also can help you ensure you're aligning your internal market with not only with each other, but with the external market. And it seemed like an appropriate thing to have the Common Council consider whether they want Personnel Committee to look into this in a little detail, figure out what a scope could be, maybe look at what some of the other communities have bid out so we can see what information may be available to us without added cost. So we just sort of put this out to sort of like a concept review of a policy, and if you want us to move forward, we'll put it on the list moving forward.
In the past, many of your employees have been under collective bargaining agreements. When you were doing research to determine adequate wages, fringe benefits, you looked at comparables, other bargaining units, and then you looked at the statutes regarding interest arbitration, how that was covered. Given that at least three of the bargaining units no longer are represented by AFSCME and the unions, they are now part of the non-represented employees package, yet you have never looked at what the market is, what the market bears for those employees' classifications and title codes. I can tell you, interacting with most of the municipalities, actually all of them in Milwaukee County, I can tell you that studies have been conducted, reports will be coming out, and actions will be taken in the near budget process in many of these municipalities. Some of the municipalities that are not within Milwaukee County and throughout the state are also looking at compensation studies. It is just a good thing to do. Now, I'll also tell you that my past experience is when you look at department head levels in the public sector, you're probably going to see that department heads are under the market, not over the market. So you'll see a pay grade that will go like this and then bottom up with the department heads. Nonetheless, you're going to be, and you already are, competing against other municipalities for positions in the public sector. It's good to know what those salaries are and what the market will bear. Biggest cost to the city of Franklin is in personnel costs. I think if Mr. Liberta's write-up, he's got the last study took place in 1993. This is not looking at whether, well, these are friends of mine. This is a duty of a board of directors to go out and make sure that the people in Franklin are paying the right amount of money for employees. So with that, it's commensurate upon me as the mayor of the city to bring this forward and to recommend that it go to the Personnel Committee.
Question.
Thank you, Your
Honor.
So it's safe to say that what some recommended have pay decreases and some pay increases, is that what we're looking at? Because obviously it's not going to all stay the same.
I would say, based on my discussions with other municipalities, there are certain classifications that the market is far below what municipalities are paying. When you get to, as we saw with going out for a finance person, you'll see that certain positions command more money. But at least it's not that you're guessing at it. You have professionals that are putting the study together.
So what we're going to, just so I'm clear, because this is not my area of expertise, we won't do this, which I'm fine with. We're going to get a report back after this, you know, everything's done. And then we're going to have to then go to people, and we're going to, some are going to get pay cuts, right? And we can do that as because of collective bargaining, and some could give pay raises. So at the end of the day, everything could end up being the same, just some people lose money that goes in our purse. Just so we're clear that that's the path we're going to go, because if we get this back and we do nothing, well, then this is a waste of time and a waste of money. So we better be prepared that whatever comes back, that we look at it and make follow the recommendations potentially, which could affect morale and everything else, just so we know that.
Well, and to answer your question, I don't think that's going to be very difficult to do, because Waukesha just went out for a major study. I'm sure that large entities in Milwaukee County are doing the same thing. And I can tell you verbatim, I'm not going to tell you the exact municipalities, they've already done the studies, and they are preparing to take action. Alderman Olson.
I am hugely skeptical of the value of such a study in light of the fact that it's the first year of the change. Everything's going to change in the next year and in the year following until it settles out. I'm willing to talk about it with personnel, but I think the value of the study. You're studying a motion of the ocean. So I'm really skeptical. Maybe somebody can convince me, but I'll move to refer it to personnel.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing Alderman Solomon.
Wouldn't it be a lot simpler to just copy Brookfield once they're done with their study? Save $200,000?
This is being referred to personnel.
I understand.
The compensate, well, it's studying.
Right.
The compensation studies are public, in the public domain. So. But, yes.
I was just going to say that part of what personnel will look at, because of the funded staff bringing them information, I think the first thing I have to do is take a little time, find out who else doing the study, what their scope is, what they paid for it, and you know, so that we know what we would might have to pay for whatever scope we're looking for. But also, if Waukesha does it, Brookfield does it, Racine does it, if we get enough people around us to do it, all creating public records paid for using a same overlapping district that covers us, we may find that you know we there's sufficient information in the public record to do it. We may not. So that's the first step that I'll need to get for personnel. Who's doing it and what questions did they ask?
The last piece is because you can have the same job titles, classifications, but when you really look into the job, they're different. I can tell you right now, the person sitting next to me, there's probably no one in this entire area that has the title of municipal clerk of municipal services. And Jack is, in Russia they would call him a czar. And so, really, I mean, you have to look at each one, but it's very, very wise to do. And I think it's going to be this is going to be a hot topic, and it's going to be in front of you very quickly because municipalities are going to start taking some action. So, all right, did we vote on that?
I think,
okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. So committee of the whole recommendations, I think we don't have to take any action on that. Next item is item 13, claim of Peter Sobic. Mr. Liberto, is your desire to go into closed session?
That would be our recommendation.
Any objections going into closed session? If not, Common Council may enter closed session pursuant to Chapter 19.85, Sub 1, Sub E, and G of the Wisconsin statutes. Excuse me. Consider a claim of Peter Sobic for costs associated with water service repairs at 7505 South Cambridge Drive due to alleged repeated use of claimant's driveway as a turnaround space for heavy vehicles, and may re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second? Been moved and seconded under discussion. Mr. Liberta?
I just asked that Chris Kroska, Property Claims Manager for Statewide Services, Inc., which is the Claims Administrator for the League of Wisconsin Municipality Mutual Insurance Company, our insurance company, be allowed to remain in the closed session.
Okay. No objections? All right. Only those parties that have business on this item and have been invited are to remain, and I know you anyhow.
Yeah. Hey, Bob.
And I would ask. All right, we are back in open session.
Yeah.
We're back in open session. Did you open that side door? Ms. Liberta, you have a suggestion, perhaps a recommended motion?
I wanted to introduce Chris Troska. As discussed at the last meeting, the city attorney did want to talk with the insurance company. I've been contacting the insurance company. I sent a representative down to very briefly explain some of the contents of his initial letter.
Welcome, sir.
Touch on unity.
Yes.
I guess I was just called in by Mark to kind to touch on the whole thought of municipal / discretionary immunity. I was a primary claims handler on the file and did use that as one of the main basis for my recommendations to the city. Discretionary immunity is supported both by Wisconsin statute section 893.80 and case law will support immunity. The basis of it is any time that a city's employee, board, council, anyone acts, that their act involves judgment, they are granted immunity known as this discretionary or municipal immunity. Did question some other factors of the claim, including causation and negligence, but really the basis of my recommendation was that obviously the decision in hanging signage, the judgment as to installing a pad, what size pad, what would be adequate, how to deal with a dead-end situation definitely involves judgment on whatever board that goes to, and therefore made my recommendation to disallow based on discretionary immunity.
Okay. Mr.
Based on that, I had suggested a motion to deny due to the insurance company's determination that there was no basis under the law or insurance policy to make a payment. Additionally, to direct the Board of Public Works to report back to the Common Council within 6 months to address the in a manner to address the road termination in this situation, and to direct the city engineer to issue a memo to all staff,
a directive
to all staff not to use private driveways as turnaround.
Okay. Is that acceptable to you, Mr. Bend?
Yes.
All right. And Board of Public Works is, you're talking about our Board of Public Works, which is comprised of all of our citizen members.
They have been looking into the matter, but the issue has never come back to this council to find out your satisfaction with their solutions or actions. And this will make them do that, to let you examine that issue.
Is there someone willing to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thanks. I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Solomon.
I apologize for bringing you back here the second time, but there is no legal basis to award a claim, number one, and it would be precedent setting. The other thing is that I was in conversation with another city employee today, and the Marr property to your north is in litigation. That litigation will not be done probably until after the first of the year. I do believe the first hearing is in November. And it's, right now it's tied up tighter than a drum, according to one of the attorneys. So there probably won't be any action on putting in a roundabout until we can get, until we find out who owns it right now, number one. And number two, it probably won't happen until next spring or summer at the earliest, just so you're aware of that, that it's not going to happen tomorrow.
And we don't know that any city employee or water employee, sewer water employee, has in fact backed up, but we're going to issue a directive that they clearly understand that they are not to be backing up in people's driveway. Alderman Schmidt?
As a member of the Public Works Commission, I do appreciate your patience and coming before us a few times, so I kind of empathize with your situation. I do hope that we will be able to come to some sort of compensation or support to you with our future efforts on the Public Works Commission.
All right. Motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. And who is going to keep them informed of the actions of the Board of Public Works?
Either myself or Mr. Romans.
All right.
Keep you up to date as things move forward.
All right. And next item on the agenda.
Move
to deny. Second. So motion to deny. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Miscellaneous licenses. Alderman Solomon.
Polaris, approval letter. Clausing, hope for appearance. Budzinski, approval letter. Stankowski, approval letter. Groszkowski, approval letter. Magolan, hold for appearance. Schaefer, hold for appearance. Mast, approve. Musa, approve. Pending police satisfactory police report. Binderen, approve. Johnson, approve.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Lewandowski, approve. Schmidt, hold for appearance. Skeen, hold for appearance. Tour. Approved. Trudeau approved. Votary approved. Cawley approved. Delgado approved. Hanley approved. Hassenstein, hold for appearance. Young approved. Charrel approved. Lehman approved. Matecki approved. Mueller approved. Rivette approved. Sadowski approved. Sal DeVar approved. Vermillion approved. Live music for the pavilion approved. Franklin Lions Club for St. Martin's Fair approved. Extraordinary special event at the sports complex approved, and Altera Classic mountain bike race.
Right, is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have vouchers, list of vouchers, numbers 143324 through 143369 in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Then moved. Just 1 second after we read that. You have a list of vouchers numbers 143324 through 143369 and numbers 143391 through 143571 in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman
Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Spratz.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have, Civic Celebration Vouchers, numbers 143370 through 143390 in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have in front of you the payroll of June 29th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Smith.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilkham.
Six ayes, no noes. I have it. Motion carries. There is a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Aye.